Welcome to Watching Bloomington, brought to you by Buccetto's Pizza Pasta, with your host, Barry Lusso. Each week, B97 and Hoosier Country bring you stories about nonprofit agencies helping people in our area. Stay informed, stay involved, and stay tuned.
Welcome to Watching Bloomington, where each week we talk with a community leader who helps make this a better place to live. And we're pleased to have our good friend June Taylor from Community Kitchen with us this morning. Hey, June, how's it going?
It's going just fine, thank you. Thank you for letting me be on the show.
Oh, we're glad to have you. Maybe you could start off by telling our listeners a little bit about what Community Kitchen does.
Well, I would be happy to do that. So I am the volunteer coordinator there. So it is my job to help us find enough people to fulfill that mission of feeding hungry people in our community. So we serve an evening meal Monday through Saturday. And we have most of our patrons are children. The people that we serve are children, 57%. And that is not through the meals that we serve here, but it's through other programs where we have after school programs, snacks and meals. We make about 750 to 800 meals and snacks per day. So you can see that a lot of that food goes out of here and goes to other programs. The interesting thing about Bloomington is that we're a small enough community that the other agencies, we all know each other. We all work really well together. Hoosier Hills Food Bank provides a lot of the food for us. We make referrals to other agencies when we know that our patrons need help other than food. So I wanted to just talk a little bit maybe about some of our patrons and how they end up coming here.
Sure.
The common belief, I think, is that the people who come here are homeless, when actually only about 19% of the people who come here have experienced homelessness within the previous 6 months. Mm-hmm. So I just want to use our imaginations a little bit and try and help people understand that that cycle of poverty that happens, or what it's like to be in a an kind of instability for a prolonged period of time. Mm-hmm. Most of us can relate to having a giant unexpected bill. Your car completely mm-hmm. breaks, or you have a hospital bill that you were not expecting, or you know, your landlord raises the rent and you are forced to move. So now you've got to come up with all of those deposits and all of those things, those moving expenses that are just, you know, overwhelming. When you're underemployed, you can make it as long as nothing goes wrong. And so this can become a lifestyle. And you are able to take care of yourself as long as you have no overwhelming bills. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take much for something to throw everything out of whack and for that instability to become more of a long-term thing. And sometimes, even though you make all the right decisions, you still end up creating other situations. Like a good example of that is we had a young mother who was coming here. She had recently gotten a new job, guaranteed 40 hours a week. It was decent pay. She was very excited by that. But in order to do that, she needed to figure out what to do with her children. Somebody needed mm-hmm. to be there when they got home from school or if they were sick. She didn't want to jeopardize this new job. So her mother, who was on disability, moved in with her. That's perfect. Any parent, you know, having that kind of yeah. resource, that's awesome. So she did the right thing, solved her problem. And then because her mother had moved in with her, she no longer qualified. The family did not qualify for food stamps. Mm. So now she's back in the hole. So she did the right thing by saying that her mother lived there. She wasn't trying to get around the system. Mm-hmm. But sometimes doing all the right things still doesn't get you where you need to be. So she managed to solve that problem. She came here temporarily to eat herself so that her family could eat the groceries that they had at home. And she had a very creative way of handling that situation. But that's an example of some of the things that can happen that just keep you in that cycle of need. Mm-hmm. And we're aware of that. We hope that we're able to offer some resources to people and some options so that if they need things other than food, we can help them find those things. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that we do that, we have a retired social worker who works part-time for us, and she is our referral specialist. Mm-hmm. And her name is Sarah. And Sarah has, she has been really, really, she's built up a rapport with our patrons that is really pretty astonishing. It's really interesting how quickly they've learned to trust her and to rely on her and to ask her questions. Our patrons are good about worrying about each other. Some of our regular folks who come here, they will probably always come here. They will not have the ability to hold down a job for themselves. They have limitations that will keep them unemployed or underemployed, and they will always be here. And so they become like a little kind of a tight-knit group, and they watch out for each other. So if there's somebody new in the neighborhood, or there's someone they don't see anymore in the neighborhood, they're quick to tell Sarah that and to let her put out some feelers and try to find out what's going on. Sarah is aware that if people are coming here to eat, they probably have some other needs. And she tries to disseminate information as quickly as possible. We get notifications of job fairs or health fairs. Sometimes there are free screenings available to people. Mm-hmm. She posts all of that information and puts information out on our resource board. And then she remembers the little details that people tell her. So she knows if somebody's glasses have broken and that they're not, you know, they can't afford a new pair, and that's, she'll remember that person, and the next time she sees them, say, hey, you need to go over here on this day because we can get you some new glasses. You need to go do that. So those sorts of things make people feel like somebody's paying attention to them. It feels respectful. Somebody knows something about them. They're valued, and somebody's worrying about them. And all of those things will help them as they try to navigate their way through some of these tough situations. Mm-hmm. So that for me, I mean, that's a really big look at some of the people who come here and why they're coming here. Sometimes it's temporary, like I said, and sometimes it's not temporary. It's just the way that these folks are going to have to feed themselves.
Well, I think it's great too that Sarah and your organization are able to connect people with other resources, like you mentioned, that a lot of times this having food insecurity isn't the only issue that's happening. So it sounds very helpful that you're able to connect people with some of these other things to help them become more stable.
Thank you. Yes, that's one of the beauties of being in Bloomington is we are of a size that people know each other, and the agencies have a pretty good sense of what other agencies in town do. And so we can stay connected in that way and make sure that we are giving people options and learning about the other agencies. We all try to stay in touch. If somebody's offering something new, they have a new line of service, or they've gotten a grant and they're able to do some things they haven't been able to do in the past, we try to share that information with each other so we can help these folks continue to succeed and continue to stay, you know, in their own apartments or their own homes, or, you know, whatever thing situation they have.
Yeah.
The more stability they have, the better off, you know, the whole community is.
Yeah. Now, you'd mentioned, you know, an astonishing number that 57% of your patrons are children, your clients. And then how does that go across the age range then? Are you serving people across the age spectrum? Are you, you know, seniors, children, adults? How does that part look?
We are. Seniors are about 4% of who we serve. And children are 57. Oh, I'm sorry. 9% of our patrons are seniors.
Wow.
Then 57% are children. And the way that we serve those children, we do have families who come here and eat in the evenings. We also serve people through after school programs. Mm-hmm. So we send food to shelters, and we send food to after school programs. Boys and Girls Club, if they have a camp, a day camp or summer camp or any of the programs that they have, we are usually providing some snacks and meals for those services or for those programs. We also have our Backpack Buddies program, and we deliver 320 I think right now is the current number, 320 backpacks each week to 19 schools in Monroe County. So all of those ways to reach children and to get food to children and their families, that figures into that cycle of poverty that I was talking about earlier. I think we have, as a society, we tend to think of somebody down on their luck as someone who is homeless, somebody that you see on a street corner. It's really difficult to understand that some of the people who are struggling have homes, they have cars, and they have jobs. They just don't have quite enough. So for parents struggling with either transportation issues or childcare issues, which, by the way, those are the two big things that we hear about and we've heard about for years. Those are the big stumbling blocks for people in trying to succeed. And when they have an option like taking their children to a Boys and Girls Club, that is a safe place for their kids. It enables the parents to continue working. They won't lose a job because they have to try to be home to meet the kids or take care of a sick child. You know, they have ways that they can use those resources to help them continue to work a full shift. And if we can get food in those kids' bellies, they get an after-school snack, they get a lunch, they get something along those lines, then the parents don't have to use the grocery money for those sorts of foods. Then they can maybe stock up on some pantry items, or they can, you know, purchase food that the rest of the family can eat as a meal together at home. So all of those are important.
Do you find that, you know, you're mentioning like the importance of supplementing that? Do you find that the foods, of course, you provide are, I'm sure, nutritionally balanced? And do you find that that really helps supplement the diet? Because I know a lot of times, you know, you're mentioning transportation issues or timing issues. It's hard to keep fresh fruits and vegetables and healthier options sometimes on the table. It's a lot of times easier to have starches and stable things on hand.
It is. We do try to, we put fresh fruit in the backpacks every week. Sometimes the foods that we put in the backpacks are not the most nutritional items. We are relying on canned items or, you know, hamburger helper, meal helpers like that. In that case, we're just trying to get some food to the kids. Whenever we have the option, we're making lunches for kids through our summer food program or through some of the after school programs. We do try to go with healthier options, and we try to do fresh, you know, lettuce on wraps, things like that, that will give the kids more options. We make hummus. We try to use vegetarian items as well, just to help teach everybody that you don't have to have meat in order to have a tasty meal. And with the price of meat right now, that's really important for people to learn how to cook a meal without having a meat option.
Yeah, you mentioned the pricing, and you know, you look right now, food costs have gone up considerably along with fuel and a number of other things. So I imagine that the families you mentioned are probably struggling even more right now.
That's correct. And I think we're going to see that probably for some time. Again, it just takes a while to dig yourself out of a hole. And if you're just keeping your head above water financially, it, you know, it will just take a while to build up some sort of savings account if you can. And sometimes it's just not possible. People just live paycheck to paycheck, like I said, for their whole lives. It's just what happens. The difference is, where a lot of us can experience that instability periodically in our lives, we can come out of it quickly. For some people, they are not able to come out of it quickly. They don't have the option of you know, getting a loan or buying a new car, or they don't have a family member or a friend who can help them financially or even help them with transportation issues or childcare. So they have one or two resources available. They do the best they can not to use up those resources. But if one of those resources goes away, they're spiraling back into an issue that perhaps makes them lose their job, especially, you know, the transportation and the childcare. Those two things will keep people from being able to maintain a job for any length of time. And it's just heartbreaking, you know. People are doing everything that they can do, and it's just not enough.
No, it's tough. when you looked at, you know, you're mentioning all these different things like the Backpack Buddies and other programs like that and all these delivery services, are there certain food items that you're looking for right now? I know sometimes when we've had you folks on, you are looking for small, like little snack items that you can put in those kind of like backpacks and things. Are there any particular food items you're looking for right now, or in general, that if people are interested in donating that they could bring?
Yes, we are in need of canned vegetables, any kind of canned vegetables. And some of those will go in our Backpack Buddies, and some of them will be used here to serve people. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, again, I want to just reiterate is that when you donate something here, there's a good chance it's going to help a child. It doesn't have to be donated specifically to Backpack Buddies in order for it to be used to help a family. So I would like for people to sort of broaden the scope and not worry so much about, you know, a certain program. Canned vegetables, you can't go wrong with canned vegetables. Canned beans, can't go wrong with that. Pasta, those are always good things that we can add to some of our programs. And we need sugar, actually. We need bags of sugar. We have sugar here. We serve coffee to our patrons, and we keep running out of sugar. And so we want to have some sugar. We have some creamer and some milk that we can use. We're in pretty good shape there, but we are pretty low on sugar right at the moment. Vegetable oil is always something that we can use here for our cooking. So all of those are good options. And you can always call me if you want a list of, you know, if you're going to go to Sam or something in a couple of weeks and you think, oh, I'll just call and see if there's something else that's cropped up. Just give me a call. We keep a running list in the office and I can answer that question pretty easily off the top of my head. And I'm happy to do so.
Yeah, no, that's great. And it's super easy to donate too. You just go to, you're at 1515 South Rogers. And I know just, it's very easy to pull around the back and ring the bell and people are always very happy to take the donations.
It is. And if you want a tax receipt for your donation, we're happy to do that. You just leave your name and contact information and then you can turn that in on your taxes if you desire. And it is easy to help. There are basically three ways you can help us. You can help us with monetary donations. And that, if you're going to send a check in, you want to send that to our post office box. We will not get mail at that street address. So you want to use P.O. Box 3286. And that zip code is 47403. And then if you want to donate online, you can go to our website. And then you can use either iDonate or PayPal. There are two different ways that you can do that on our website. So I would encourage you to go there and look that over. If you want to help us with food items, we've just covered some of those items that you can bring. Mm-hmm. Oh, and the other thing I want to reiterate, sometimes people feel bad because they only have a can or two that they can donate. And they feel like when we say we're feeding, you know, 320 backpacks, whatever, they get overwhelmed and they think that one or two cans isn't helpful. But they have to remember a lot of people in Bloomington will bring us things here and there. And we put all of that together. So there's no donation that's too small. And if you have a hard time getting here, like let's say that this just isn't an easy, you know, your work hours coincide with the hours that we are open. And so it's not easy for you to donate. You know, you can always call Stonebelt and sign up for their Hand in Hand program. And if you haven't heard of Hand in Hand, what that is, Stonebelt clients go around with some of their aides and they have regular routes and they stop at homes and they pick up donations. So this is prearranged and people will put, like I said, a can or two in a bag and it's a Hand in Hand. It's got a logo on it. It's really easy to identify. You can leave it on your porch, by your garage, whatever agreement you have with Stonebelt. But you just call Stonebelt, tell them you would like to know if you could get on a hand-in-hand route. And then Stonebelt brings us that food a couple times a week. They're running their routes. And we get hundreds of pounds of food from that program and from
that's great
with Stonebelt.
Yeah. And you're doing a little bit at a time and it's easy to do. And that's great. Good. That sounds like a great partnership.
It is. It's easy for people to do without being financially, you know, overwhelmed. And then the other thing you can do is you can sign up your Kroger Rewards card and say that we are your charity of choice. And when you do that, we get a certain percentage of everything that you spend, and you don't have to round up, and you don't need to, it doesn't mess with your fuel points, doesn't do anything bad at all. You can just do that without spending any money of your own. And we get about $1,000 per quarter from those efforts. Nice. So that's wonderful. During the summer, if you're a gardener and you have some extra produce, bring it our way. We love fresh produce in the summer. And we have a lot of vendors from the different markets in town who bring us fresh produce whenever they can. Right now, we still have some vendors who are bringing us some produce throughout the winter. It's wonderful. We love to be able to give our folks fresh salads. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, that is something that is hard maybe for a family or a person to provide for themselves, mm-hmm. because it will go bad so quickly. And if you don't, you're just wasting, you feel like you're wasting your money. Mm-hmm. So this way we're able to provide some of those things. So think about that this summer. If you're planting a row, plant a little extra and bring it over to Community Kitchen. We'll be happy to take that.
That sounds wonderful. That's a great point. And if everybody brings a couple items, pretty soon you'll let several people do that, and then you've got a meal out of it, right?
It is. It's the best potluck in the world.
Now, with any events coming up or other things that you're thinking about, I know as people are moving slowly into the spring season, people are starting to think about maybe some of these things will come back. Anything on your horizon?
We do have a couple things on our horizon. We are hoping that we can have a brunch in May. So there's no date set, and it's in the very, very embryonic stages of planning. But we would like to do it perhaps outdoors to sort of alleviate that sense of, you know, being squashed in a room right now when everybody's so nervous about being squashed in a room. So that we hope we can make happen. And then last year we did a marvelous event called the Birding Bonanza. And it was an event, it was a fundraiser. David Roop from Indigo Birding set this up for us. And he took people on a tour. You can go on any one of his tours, but he also set up a tour for us specifically to help us find some of these birds. And as a bird lover, you have a list of birds that you're supposed to find. You can get people to support you by paying you a certain amount of money for finding these birds. You can, you know, do that with your friends, family. The whole family can go out together, or you can do it from inside your home. If you have a bird feeder, you can simply just look at the birds that you have out there, and you try to come up with as many as you can. And then if you're being paid per bird, that's really fun, because then you can bring a lot of money into the Community Kitchen. So we are going to do that this year in September. Last time we did it last year, we did it in the spring. We've decided to move it so that we can watch the fall migration and see how that's
going. Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? Yeah. So it will be fun, and I'm very excited by that. So
It's better than watching birds on Discovery from your couch, huh?
Exactly. it was really fun. And I went on the tour, one of the tours that David gave, and I saw a bird I'd never seen before in my life. So that was pretty fun. I got to actually see something that I'd only seen previously in a book or on TV.
Mm-hmm. And any snipe, right? I know that's actually a bird too.
It is actually a bird. It is actually, it just cracks me up. It's like, you know, all of those years of thinking that was like a unicorn, and it really exists.
It is out there. Excellent. So people should pay attention to that too then. Well, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being with us this morning. And it sounds like you have a lot of really helpful, wonderful things going on to help people in the community.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And anybody interested in volunteering, please get with me. Just call our phone number, 812-332-0999. In the summer, I have two different shifts that come up in addition to our year-round shifts. And you can volunteer with a child 10 to 13, can volunteer with an adult, 14 and older can volunteer by themselves. So those are some great opportunities to, you know, get your kids up and moving in the summer, come in, do a couple hours with us, and then go play the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm. And your volunteer shifts are like in set times, aren't they? They're a couple hours at a time.
They are correct. There are 2-hour shifts or 3-hour shifts. There's one that's slightly longer, and that is where you are helping distribute sack lunches to kids in low-income neighborhoods. One volunteer in the van with one of our staff members. So that one, I have a couple routes that run 5 days a week during the summer. Those will start the day after Memorial Day, and they will run until, I think, August 3rd, perhaps. Mm-hmm. It's the day before school starts again in the fall. So that is a way for us to reach some of the kids that maybe get backpack buddies throughout the year. We're able to give them these sack lunches. And then once a week, we do a backpack for the kids that want to take that back to their families. So we distribute about 100 backpacks each week over the summer.
Wow. No, so those are all great opportunities for people to volunteer if they want to get out a little bit and do something helpful for the community.
And it's very easy. And I always say, again, you don't have to be a recurring volunteer. If you mm-hmm. come in and just do one shift, mm-hmm. that's one shift I don't have to worry about. And mm-hmm. so it doesn't have to be an overwhelming commitment. Mm-hmm. I promise I will not call you every week. And you know, it really is. It's hard. I think people just feel overwhelmed sometimes by the amount of need and the amount of help that mm-hmm. agencies need.
Yeah.
But just remember that anything that you do is helpful to us, and it's great, you know. Get your kids involved, come over here and see what it's about, and make it a teaching moment for your kids.
Yeah, well put. So grab your cans of vegetables and give June a call.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again, June. Really lots of great information. We really appreciate it. And this has been another edition of Watching Bloomington, and we'll see you again next Sunday. And that's going to be College Goal Sunday on February 27th. And we'll look forward to having Pat McCafferty here. So you folks out there with college students getting ready to apply for financial aid, you can learn how to do that for free. So thank you very much. And we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Watching Bloomington with Barry Lesso, brought to you by Buccetto's Pizza Pasta. For pizzas, calzones, Italian chicken dinners, and more than 50 gluten-free dishes, as well as vegan options. Visit them for dine-in or carry-out at East 3rd Street or next to Starbucks on West 3rd Street in front of Kroger. Order online at Buccetto's.com.